tackling tough topics to help you think reasonably about life's most important issues. This is Thinker Sensitive. Welcome to another episode of Thinker Sensitive. I'm your host, Ryan Ragazine. Today we're going to be talking about exceptions to tolerance. Exceptions to tolerance. Tolerance, what we call true tolerance, tolerance in the midst of disagreement, tolerance of divergent opinions, tolerance that runs in both directions, reciprocal tolerance, is one of the central values of Thinker Sensitive. I've talked about it quite a bit on this podcast, so much so that some of you might actually be tired of listening to me talk about it. That is, some of you might be becoming intolerant towards my preoccupation with the notion of tolerance. One of the reasons why I feel the need to talk about it so much is because I think it's a weak point in our society today. If it was one of our strengths as a society, I probably wouldn't feel much of a need to mention it at all. But being that it's a weakness, I think it's important to discuss it. Now, there are many examples of intolerance in our society today that we could talk about. On a social level, on a political level, on a racial level, on a religious level. I'm not going to listen to Thinker Sensitive because Ryan is a practicing Christian, and I dislike Christianity. I refuse to listen to the Sam Harris podcast because Sam Harris doesn't believe in God. I'm not going to hang out with Amanda ever again because she voted for Bernie Sanders. I won't be caught dead in the same room with Adam because he voted for Donald Trump. I'm not going to hire Anthony because of his untraditional views on gender and sexuality. I'm not going to eat chicken and waffle fries at that restaurant because of their traditional views on gender and sexuality. Again, I've talked a lot about the importance of tolerance and the need for tolerance in the past. But if you're an inquisitive person like me, you may still have some questions, and rightly so. Is intolerance always inappropriate? Are there times when intolerance is actually warranted? Is it ever morally right or ethically good to be intolerant? Someone might say, Ryan, I know you're big on tolerance, but what about possible exceptions to tolerance? Yeah, I hear you. Let's talk about it. This is an important topic that demands careful nuance. What kind or what form of intolerance are we talking about? Tolerance is a very broad and diverse concept, having many different applications. So with this in mind, I want to narrow our discussion to two classes of intolerance. The ethical, personal, relational class, on one hand, and the legal, corporate, and civil class, on the other hand. Let me give an example to help flesh out the concepts in these two classes. If someone makes the statement, I hate Christians, on our Thinker Sensitive Facebook page, which I moderate, I will most likely respond with intolerance according to the first class, but not necessarily according to the second class. So instead of trying to put this person in prison, which would be a legal form of intolerance, or banning or blacklisting this person from the page, which would be a civil or corporate form of intolerance, I might criticize or correct this person, which would be an ethical form of intolerance. But honestly, knowing myself, I probably would just ignore the comment. I definitely wouldn't have any desire to have a relationship or a friendship with such a person. And that would be a relational form of intolerance. So you can see that this is a pretty complex issue. It's not a black and white thing. These are judgment calls, and each individual situation should be judged contextually. But it's a convoluted issue. And I'm trying to hold a lot of different things in tension with one another. So, for example, I'm trying to hold together what is ethical with what is legal, the rights of corporations and private owners, and the rights of individuals, free thinking and free speech with both justified tolerance, which in our example would be a legal form of tolerance, and justified intolerance, which in our example would be a relational form of intolerance. To make this a bit more clear, let me quickly sum up my definitions of these two main classes of intolerance. The legal, corporate, and civil class has to do with public, professional, institutional, and governmental forms of intolerance. Examples would be being imprisoned, being sued, fined, fired, banned, or blacklisted. The ethical, personal, and relational class has to do with private, informal, individual, and social forms of intolerance. So, being confronted, being criticized, being corrected, being avoided, withdrawing from something, being rejected. These would be forms of the ethical, personal, and relational class of intolerance. Let's take a look at some commonly accepted categories of warranted intolerance. So most people believe that intolerance is justified or warranted in these cases and under these categories. The first category is serious crimes and felonies. This category overlaps with and crosses over into both of the classes of intolerance that we've discussed. The second category is sexual, physical, or verbal abuse. Again, this category overlaps with both major classes of intolerance that we've talked about. By verbal abuse, we're referring to extreme, exceptional behavior. So, for example, consistently hurling insults at a coworker in a shared office building, or constantly and maliciously denigrating, belittling, and vilifying a person on social media over a trivial disagreement. Another commonly accepted category of warranted intolerance is hate speech. Hate speech is a very ambiguous category, and it can be easily misapplied and misappropriated. True hate speech, on top of being centered on race, gender, sexuality, and religion, is marked by bad criticism, something that I talked about on my last weekly podcast. There is a difference between saying, quote, all Muslims are fanatics and lunatics and should be burned at the stake, and saying, quote, I disagree with the views of Islam and this is why. Just because someone expresses an opinion on Islam that differs from mine or articulates a view on the Prophet Muhammad that deviates from popular opinion doesn't mean that the divergent opinion or view in question is a form of hate speech. Hastily labeling all divergent opinions on race, gender, sexuality, and religion as hate speech is actually an expression of unwarranted intolerance of free speech. And it is also reflective of an immature intolerance of divergent opinions. The statement, I hate Christians, at least if stated with true sincerity, should not be tolerated on the ethical, personal, and relational level. As abhorrent as the statement is, however, in a truly liberal democracy, there shouldn't be any legal ramifications for making such a statement. Corporate and civil repercussions, or corporate and civil intolerance, is debatable depending on the context. In the case of a statement as egregious as this one, it would certainly be defensible for a private company to fine, fire, ban, or even blacklist the transgressor. Because I have a very strong value for free thinking and free communication, I do think that companies should be very reluctant to punish people in these ways. I want to use the example of Grant Napier as a case study here. Grant Napier was coerced to resign from his announcing gig with the Sacramento Kings and was fired from his radio show after tweeting, quote, "All lives matter, every single one," end quote, in response to a question from DeMarcus Cousins, a player on the Sacramento Kings at the time, asking his opinion on the Black Lives Matter movement during the George Floyd protests. Now, if you know anything about the history of DeMarcus Cousins, you know that he has a bit of a checkered past. That might even be an understatement. Either way, one could definitely argue that Cousins has done a lot worse than say, quote, "all lives matter, every single one," end quote. Regardless, by definition, this is neither verbal abuse nor hate speech. Is it ethically or morally justifiable for an employer to fire an employee for a statement like this? Is this an example of unwarranted intolerance? I'm just asking the questions here. You decide for yourself. When it comes to these kinds of situations or accusations of hate speech or any kind of unacceptable speech, I would give 4 personal recommendations. Number 1, I think companies should have a clear, transparent speech and behavior policy that's applied universally rather than selectively and inconsistently. 2, I think big companies should have a diverse third-party ethics committee that's trained to use wisdom and discernment in making these kinds of judgments. 3, on a broader societal level, I think it's important that we interpret controversial statements within the total context of a person's heart, character, intentions, and life. And 4, I think companies should have a corrective process that gives individuals an opportunity to rectify things and to make things right. The last commonly accepted category of warranted intolerance is gratuitous and avoidable violence, both inciting violence and acting violently. For the most part, there's full crossover here into both classes of intolerance that we defined earlier. An example of this category would be calling for violence or acting violently against a particular demographic, like law enforcement, or a particular institution, like Planned Parenthood. Now that we've discussed several different forms of warranted intolerance, I want to lay down some general rules and maxims. First, intolerance should always be the exception to the rule. Tolerance, on the other hand, should be the default base stance. 2, the level of tolerance needed to be exerted always corresponds to the level of divergence. It's easy to tolerate agreement. It's difficult to tolerate disagreement. So in the example of Grant Napier, if you agree with his statement in that particular context, then it's going to be easy to tolerate that statement. But if you disagree with it in that particular context, it might be difficult for you to tolerate the statement. Third, sometimes seemingly warranted intolerance is actually unwarranted intolerance, specifically an intolerance of basic difference and disagreement. Fourth, context matters. It's not just about the statement or the opinion or the view. It's about the context as well. We should interpret a person's statements and we should interpret their views within the overarching context of a person's entire existence. Fifth, in a classically liberal society, legal, corporate, and civil intolerance should be much more lenient, sparse, cautious, conservative, and restrained than ethical, personal, and relational intolerance. Someone who consistently insults my wife's intelligence shouldn't be imprisoned, fined, sued, or blacklisted. But you could argue that such a person should be confronted or personally avoided. And finally, in friendships, paradoxically, tolerance should be both increased and decreased relative to other relationships. Tolerance should be increased because leeway is often given based on shared history, trust and credibility that's built over time, and mutual understanding. And tolerance is decreased because you often choose friends based on what you can and cannot tolerate. There are certain irritating or grating behaviors and attitudes that you're going to be more tolerant of in small doses, like in the context of an acquaintance, than in large doses, like in the context of a friendship. I'm going to conclude this podcast with my personal philosophy of intolerance when it comes to the context of interpersonal relationships. Who can I be friends with, and who can't I be friends with? This is something that I've actually thought about a lot over the last several years. What are my exceptions to tolerance in relationships? My first exception to tolerance when it comes to friendship would be radicalism or extremism on both sides of the aisle and on both sides of the church walls. This would be ideology that is intrinsically hateful, dehumanizing, violent, and destructive, including unnecessary, violent, and destructive behavior. Examples of this would be the Capitol riot, or some of the gratuitous violence that took place in the city of Portland in the year of 2020. I'm personally intolerant of this kind of radicalism and extremism in friendships. Another exception would be poor character. This covers many of the exceptions that we've already discussed in this episode. The True Friendship series that I recorded with my friend Chad Graham also covers this. Much has been said about choosing your friends wisely, and I think for good reason. My last exception would actually be intolerance itself. I am intolerant of intolerance, of unwarranted intolerance. I'm intolerant of those who are intolerant of non-radicalized views and opinions, or belief systems and worldviews that don't breed poor character. Let me give an example. As a Christian, if I discover that an apparent friend who doesn't know much about my religious background is sincerely intolerant of Christian faith and praxis, and therefore intolerant of me and my beliefs, I will naturally and even necessarily end the relationship. By intolerance here, I'm not talking about disagreement, divergence, or lack of acceptance of a worldview. I'm talking about a blatant dislike or hate of people or a person that actually makes a friendship impossible. Sincere disagreement should never prevent a friendship, but sincere dislike or hatred does. Unwarranted intolerance precludes a friendship based on non-radicalized alternative perspectives. Warranted intolerance simply acknowledges the intolerance of the other and acts accordingly by forfeiting a relationship that isn't actually possible because of that person's fundamental intolerance of who you are and what you believe. To summarize this, if I deny a friendship simply on the basis of basic ideological differences, or simply on the basis of differing opinions on certain matters, then I think I'm radically intolerant, and therefore I'm an extremist and probably a person of questionable character. On the other hand, if I have no problem being friends with people who believe differently than I do, then I'm probably a pretty tolerant person. Someone who isn't an extremist, and someone who probably has some character. Thanks so much for listening, and hope you have a great week. This episode, and all episodes of Thinker Sensitive, are available at thinkersensitive.com, iTunes, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content and wish to donate to help us grow our online community of thinkers, please visit thinkersensitive.com.